We hear in our gospel today at the end of the passage, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Anything Jesus says in the gospel is significant, but we should consider anything that Jesus says after the resurrection as of the first significance. This passage occurs right after the story of the two disciples walking to Emmaus and of their being accompanied by Jesus, who opens their eyes and ears to all that had been foretold about him. In the scripture, Jesus then appears to the disciples and again eats with them to show that he is not a ghost, that he is truly risen. When Jesus closes the passage in our gospel today with the phrase, "Repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached," we should ponder what that means. One might think Jesus would say, "Death has been conquered." But instead, he says, "Repentance for the forgiveness of sins." We may consider that Jesus is saying, "The resurrection is proof that sins can be forgiven." In other words, Jesus wants us, as post-resurrection people, as his followers, as Christians, to be people of repentance, to be people seeking the forgiveness of our sins and encouraging others to seek forgiveness for their sins. Perhaps one way to look at this is to consider what sin is. Sin is what separates us from God. We ourselves cannot overcome sin. We can only overcome sin by the grace and mercy of God. Therefore, it is God who reaches out to us to bridge that separation. However, we have to respond, and our first response should be to seek forgiveness for our sins, and then our second response should be to accept God's forgiveness. This should then lead us in our actions to encouraging others to turn away from sin, to seek forgiveness, and to offer forgiveness themselves after receiving and accepting God's forgiveness in their lives. These are not easy tasks. It is not an easy attitude to embody. But we see that the apostles and the other disciples did so. Just last Friday, in the Good Friday recounting of the Passion, we hear, "Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear." This attitude of Simon Peter is an attitude of violence. Despite all the time he had spent with Jesus as part of Jesus' most intimate inner circle. However, after the resurrection, in Peter's encounter with the risen Christ, he changes. Instead of reacting with violence against those who persecute him, against those who challenged him, Peter responds at times with humility, seeking forgiveness, at times with forbearance, being patient, and ultimately giving himself over to a death in a similar manner to Jesus. That was a fate that Simon Peter wished to avoid, a fate against which he acted out of cowardice and out of fear when Jesus had been arrested and put on trial, a fate which he wished to avoid for Jesus, acting with violence when they came to arrest Jesus in the garden. This change of heart of Simon Peter occurred because of his encounter with the risen Christ. All of us who have entered the Catholic Church, whether as infants or adults, have this encounter with the risen Christ, and it should change our hearts. It should cause us to always seek forgiveness for sins, no matter how many times we stumble, no matter how many times we act out of fear, out of anger, out of greed, out of envy, out of indifference, or out of hatred. We can always seek forgiveness from God, and we can always turn our lives around, even if we stumble and commit those sins again, or even worse ones. God always wants us to be in right relationship and to be close to God. We cannot do this on our own, but through the grace and love of God, we can. But it is not just our relationship with God that we should seek to heal. we should seek to help others heal their relationships with God, and therefore our relationships with them. This week is the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement that has helped bring peace to Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic. It has brought peace to the United Kingdom. It has not solved all their problems, and it has required a lot from those who are asking for forgiveness and for those who are being asked to offer forgiveness. I encourage you to read the stories of those who suffered through the troubles in Ireland, to reflect upon their situations, and those who still today struggle with the after effects of violence, hatred, and indifference. These acts and attitudes of violence that happened still afflict the peoples of Ireland and the United Kingdom, people who should be close together, who should have, as Christians, similar approaches to faith. It is difficult for those who have suffered the loss of loved ones to violence to see the perpetuators of that violence go free as part of the changes brought about after the Good Friday Agreement. Those who suffer need our prayers, so I encourage you to read their stories and to pray for them as they grieve, as they struggle to continue to heal and rebuild. One movie that I have occasionally watched as part of my reflections was from the mid-1990s called Some Mother's Son. It was filmed before the Good Friday Agreement, and so therefore it was filmed when the troubles were still a fear hanging over the people. If you watch it and reflect upon the men, women, and children in this movie, you will recognize some actors who are now more famous, and you might also experience the Eucharist. At least I hope you do, because I did in watching this movie. There is a scene where the Primate of Ireland, a Catholic cardinal, the Archbishop of Armagh, is offering Mass to prisoners inside the prison block. It is, of course, as all dramatic representations of the Mass, not as accurate as what happens. But in reflecting upon that scene, I had a different encounter with Christ and saw in a new light those who portrayed the prisoners who committed violence, those who committed murder. And some of them were not repentant. But all the prisoners and guards, soldiers and police, relatives and officials, are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because in the Eucharist, we are all brothers and sisters to one another. There is no place in the world where we are not with God, because God is everywhere in all things, as St. Paul says. And even in film and television, plays and novels, and in stories, we can encounter Christ. We can encounter God's love for us and learn to seek forgiveness and to pray for the forgiveness of others. Certainly my prayers this week and last week and next week will be for those still working for repentance and forgiveness in the actions of violence and hurt that occurred in the Troubles, and they will continue to be offered for the people of Ukraine and those suffering there. These are not the only spots of violence in the world. Reflect upon those areas for which you feel drawn to pray for an end to violence, whether it be within our own city, around our country, or anywhere in the world. God will show you where your prayers are needed, and let us offer our prayers and our actions to end violence and to help those affected to so recover. It is a lifelong journey, and it only ends with our deaths. Hopefully, our deaths will be with Christ and in the light of the resurrection. Our dying prayers, even when we can only vocalize them within our minds or in our hearts, are always heard by God. Do not be afraid to ask God for peace, to ask God for forgiveness, to ask God for the forgiveness of others. Go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.